telekinesis to shield Sam and me from being crushed. Before I can say a word, the boy emerges clapping the dust off his hands. He's taller than I am, shirtless, and muscular. Sam steps forward, and to my surprise, he aims his gun at the boy's head.
Just tell me, do you know my dad, Malcolm Good? Please!
The boy looks past Sam and his weapon, focusing on the chests under my arms. That's when I notice the three scars on his leg. They're just like mine. He's one of us. I drop the other chest to the ground in shock. What number are you?
I'm 4.
He squints at me and then offers his hand.
I'm 9. Good job staying alive, number 4.
He reaches for the chest I've dropped. Sam lowers his gun, retreating down the corridor, stopping every few seconds to look inside a cell. 9 places his hand on the chest's lock, and it instantly shakes and snaps open. A yellow glow lights up his face when he opens the lid.
Hell yeah!
He laughs, placing a hand inside. 9 pulls out a tiny red rock and shows it to me.
You have one of these?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm embarrassed by how little I understand the items in my own chest. 9 places the rock between his knuckles and aims his fist at the nearest wall. A white cone of light appears, and instantly we can see through the wall and into an empty jail cell. Sam runs in our direction.
Wait, you have X-ray vision?
What number is the nerd?
9 asks me, digging around in his chest again. That's Sam. He's not Lorik, but he's our ally. He's looking for his dad. He tosses Sam the red rock.
This will make shit go faster, Sammy. Just aim and squeeze.
He's human, dude, I say. He can't use this stuff. 9 places his thumb on Sam's forehead. Sam's hair blows upward, and I can smell electricity in the air. Sam stumbles backwards.
Whoa!
9 ducks his hands back into his chest.
You've got about 10 minutes. Get to it!
I'm amazed that 9 has the ability to transfer powers to humans. Sam runs down the corridor, inspecting cells with a flick of the wrist. When he gets to the large metal door at the end, he aims the rock at it, exposing more than a dozen armed Moogs on the other side. And one is twisting together exposed wires in an open keypad.
Sam!
I yell, picking up my gun.
Get back!
Whoosh! The door rises, and the Moogs rush forward. Sam sprints away, firing over his shoulder.
You have any other legacies yet?
I ask 9 over the sound of my gun. He winks, and then he's gone, running along the cracked ceiling at super speed. The Moogs don't notice 9 until he's dropped behind them, and by then, it's too late. He's a tornado, ripping through them with a ferocity I didn't know Lorik possessed. Even 6 would be impressed. Sam and I stop firing, letting 9 dismember each Moog with his bare hands. When he's finished, 9 runs back along the left wall of the corridor before circling to the ceiling and then to the right wall, a cloud of ash trailing him.
Anti-gravity, Sam says. Now that's a cool legacy.
9 skids to a stop in front of his chest and kicks it shut.
I can also hear pretty well. For miles.
Okay, let's go, I say, scooping up my chest. 9 easily places his on his huge shoulder and grabs a gun from the floor.
What about those other cells?
He asks Sam, pointing down the corridor. 100 or more cell doors line the walls past where the Moogs had entered.
We have to go, I say, knowing we're already pushing our luck.
It's only a matter of seconds before we'll be surrounded, but there's no persuading Sam. He runs under the large door, still holding the red rock. Another dozen Moogs suddenly emerge from a hidden tunnel entrance between us. Sam braces himself against the wall and fires. I see a few of the Moogs burst into ash, but then my view is blocked by a swarm of drooling crawls. Focusing my thoughts on a boulder, I whip it at the crawls, smashing all but a few. Nine catches a crawl by its back legs and slams the beast against the wall. He crushes another two, and when he's done, he turns to me, laughing. I'm about to ask him what's so funny when he launches a boulder right at me. I barely jump out of the way, and a moment later, my back is covered with black ash.
They're everywhere, he laughs. We have to get to Sam.
I try to run past Nine when an enormous pike in hand snatches us both.
Sam! I yell. Sam!
Sam doesn't hear us over the sound of his gun. The pikin pulls us in the other direction, and in what feels like slow motion, I lose sight of my best friend. Before I can yell again, the pikin throws us down the opposite tunnel. I hit the wall and land on one chest, and the other lands on top of me. The wind is knocked out of me, and when I look up, I see Nine spitting blood out. He's grinning.
Are you crazy? I ask. You're enjoying this? I've been locked up for over a year. This is the best day of my life!
Two pikins duck into the tunnel, blocking our direct path back to Sam. Nine wipes the blood from his chin and opens his chest. He pulls out a short silver pipe, and it expands violently at both ends until it's over 6 feet long and glowing red. He runs toward the pikins with the pipe over his head. I stand to join him, but feel a jolt of pain in my ribs. I dig inside my chest for my healing stone, but by the time I find it, Nine has killed both pikins. Running back along the ceiling, he twirls the pipe at his side, and when he's 20 feet away, he yells for me to move. The glowing red pipe sails over my head like a javelin, impaling a pikin in the stomach.
Don't mention it, Nine says before I can utter a word.
More pikins squeeze into the far end of the tunnel, and when I turn around to run, a flock of transparent birds with razor-sharp teeth is flying towards us. Nine grabs a strand of green stones from his chest and flings it towards the flock. It hovers in the air and, like a black hole, sucks the birds into it. He closes his eyes, and the stones zip towards the pikins, spinning and unleashing the flock of birds into their faces. Nine points at me and yells,
"Boulder them!"
I follow his lead, rocketing boulder after boulder at the mayhem. The pikins and the birds collapse under our barrage. Several more pikins push their way into the tunnel, roaring. I grab Nine's arm to keep him from charging.
They're just going to keep coming, I say. We have to find Sam and get out of here. Number six is meeting us.
He nods, and we run. At the next opening, we veer left, unsure if we're making progress or getting even more lost. More and more enemies appear behind us with every new turn. Nine trashes every tunnel we pass through, bringing down ceilings and collapsing walls with telekinesis and perfectly thrown boulders. We come to a long, low, arching bridge of solid rock, similar to the one Sam and I shuffled along earlier, and below is a steaming pool of green lava. Charging across the other side of the narrow bridge is a thick line of Moogs, and behind us, several pikins are racing down the tunnel, straight towards us.
Where do we go?
I shout as we step onto the bridge. Nine says,
We go under!
Nine grabs my hand as we reach the peak of the bridge, and my world literally flips upside down until we're running along the underside of the arch. Without warning, Nine lets go of me, but my shoes still firmly grip the belly of the bridge somehow. I reach over my head and scoop up a pile of the green lava, and by the time we're standing on the other side of the room, I have a perfect green ball of fire in my hand. I wing it at the Moogs on the bridge and visualize it spreading over them. I can hear the sizzling of their flesh when we duck into another cave. I'm out of breath when we reach a steep decline. I'm judging the grade of the drop when I'm hit with a blast from behind. I topple forward and fall at an amazing speed.
and when the ground finally levels out, my recently dislocated shoulder hits it first. I roll onto my stomach in unimaginable pain. The blast hit me square in the back, and my muscles are stuck in an uncontrollable spasm. I can hardly breathe, let alone search my chest for my healing stone. The only thing I can do is stare at the slivers of moonlight that appear and disappear at the end of the tunnel. The tarp. It's flapping in the forest wind. I'm back to where I started. I hear the sound of rocks crumbling behind me. I'm in more pain than I thought imaginable, and all I can think about is leaving the mountain. Straight ahead. It's the exit. We can regroup out there, I manage. If we can make it outside, then I can heal myself, hide our chests in the forest, and maybe BK can come back in with us now that we've destroyed the gas tanks. The four Moogs who guarded the entrance are gone, and Nine jumps out through the tarp and into the forest. I follow. The stench from the dead animal carcasses hits us fast, and we both gag as Nine jogs into a line of trees. I collapse against a trunk. I need 5 minutes, I think. Then we're going back in for Sam, guns and hands blazing. Nine digs around his chest and I close my eyes. Tears roll down my face. I'm startled by something rough touching my left hand. I open my eyes to see it's Bernie Kosar in his beagle form, licking my fingers. I don't deserve that, I tell him. I'm a coward. I'm cursed. He notices my injuries and tears, and then sniffs Nine's face before expanding into a horse.
Whoa!
Nine jumps back.
What the hell are you?
Chimera, I whisper. He's a good guy. He's Lorik. Nine quickly pets BK's muzzle, and then presses a healing stone to my back. As it works through my system, I notice a menacing storm brewing over the mountain. The sky suddenly rages with lightning and booming thunder, and I'm so grateful Six has returned that I stand, ignoring the remaining pain in my back. The clouds shift and stretch in a way I've never seen before, though, and the sky feels suddenly evil. This isn't Six. She's not back to help. I watch the funnel cloud that I've only seen in my worst visions form. Bernie Kosar rears backward as a perfectly spherical spaceship, milky white like a pearl, sweeps down through the tornado's eye. The ship lands right in front of the mountain's entrance, sending tremors through the ground. In the same way as I had seen in my visions, a door appears from out of nowhere on the ship's side, simply melting away. The Mogadorian leader from my visions, he's here. Nine gasps.
Cetricus Ra! He's here! This is it.
I'm silent, frozen in fear. So that's his name, I finally whisper.
That was his name. For every day they tried to torture me and my Saipan, I'm going to stab him with this.
The red pipe glows in Nine's hand. Its ends expand with rotating blades.
I'm going to kill him, and you're going to help me.
Cetricus Ra walks towards the cave's entrance, but stops before going in. One massive silhouette, stark and spectral. Through the raging wind and torrential rain, he turns, lifting his gaze in our general direction. Even from as far away as I am, the faint glow of the three pendants is unmistakable around his thick neck. Nine and I charge out of the trees, with Bernie Kosar galloping behind, but it's too late. Cetricus Ra has disappeared into the cave, and the same bubbling blue force field that covered the prison cell doors appears over the entrance.
No!
Nine yells. He slides to a stop and stabs the ground with his pipe. With my dagger in my hand, I keep going. I hear Nine scream for me to stop, but all I can think about is killing Cetricus Ra
saving Sam and his dad, and ending this war right here, right now. When I hit the blue force field, everything goes black.
Chapter 32. Thunder rolls, followed by brilliant streaks of lightning, and in their glare, I see the clouds expand and drop. Rain falls in heavy sheets, and the armored Mogadorian looks down at me. He presses the cannon against my blue pendant and says something I can't understand. My wound in my stomach has almost healed, and I hear Ella yell my name over the thunder. If I'm going to die, then I need to release Ella first. One of us needs to live to tell the others. I cautiously lift my hands and envision the trunk separating when a bolt of lightning cracks in the distance. Less than a second later, the bolt strikes the Mogadorian standing over me, and he turns to ash and is swept away in the wind. I climb to my feet and see that I've opened the beech tree's trunk halfway. I continue to separate the tree as I run towards it. Ella! Are you okay? She spills out of the trunk and falls into my arms.
I couldn't see you, she says, squeezing me. I thought I'd lost you.
Not yet, I say, grabbing my chest. Come on. We turn to run and see Creighton and Hector coming towards us. Hector's been hurt, and his arm is over Creighton's shoulders for support. The wind and rain are raging. Behind them, the first wave of Mogadorians and Krolls are charging up the shore after them. When I see this, I break away a large limb from a dead tree and hurl it hard at the closest pack of Krolls. It knocks down several, but they're back up again in no time. A Mogadorian soldier throws a grenade that I intercept midair with my mind and send it right back into his stomach. It explodes, throwing several Mogadorians and Krolls to the ground in soggy bits of ash. I send tree after tree, rock after rock, knocking many to the ground, killing more.
Help me!
Creighton yells. I rush to take Hector from him. He has a bite wound in his stomach and a bullet hole in his arm, and both are bleeding badly.
Come on, everyone!
Creighton yells, pulling bullets from his coat pocket and quickly sliding them into his gun's empty clip.
We have to get to the dam!
I open my mouth to respond, but an enormous lightning bolt snaps over us. It spreads across the sky like the veins of the gods, leaving the distinct taste of metal in the air. A deafening clap of thunder reverberates off the mountains. The wind and rain cease, and the clouds rotate around and around in a massive maelstrom until a dark, glowing eye forms, staring at us from high over the mountaintops. The Mogadorians are just as mesmerized as we are. The wind kicks up again, and the dark clouds and the thunder and lightning come with it. Slow at first, but quickly gaining speed, heading our way. A perfect storm, beautiful at its cataclysmic heart, unlike anything I've ever seen before. All any of us can do is watch the thick clouds rolling towards us with a deep growl.
What's happening?
I scream over the gale force winds.
I don't know,
Creighton replies.
We're going to need to find some cover.
But he doesn't move, and neither does anyone else. Hector seems to have forgotten all about the pain of his wounds as he watches too.
Go!
Creighton finally yells, and then he spins around and fires on the Mogadorians to cover us as we run over a slight hill and then down into a valley. I see the dam on my right, which connects two lower mountains. It's too far away to realistically believe we'll reach it, Hector's face has turned white, and he's fading fast, and I start looking for a place.